Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. The Bible says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And just an introduction, my goal for these young people in music, and I told one even just a couple of weeks ago, my goal for these students and these young people in their music, even as children and junior high students and high school students and college students, is that they use their talents, abilities in music for ministry and for the Lord. And what I mean by that isn't that they would necessarily be full-time at a church, though God will call some of them to be full-time ministry. But what I mean by ministry is serving, and serving in the local church in the area of music. I was blessed last night just hearing the congregational singing, and especially on the song "It Is Well with My Soul" last night was just a special blessing to me. And it's interesting, and it's very awesome how an environment can be created just to really prepare our hearts for the preaching and teaching by good music. And we want our music to be anointed, and that's first and foremost. As we study music and just trying to be successful, trying to do things, it's evident it doesn't just happen on its own. It's definitely on purpose. And Brother Roberto Palencia is a very good friend of mine, and he and I have the privilege of teaching together in the Christian school. And Brother Palencia oversees our Antelope Valley Music Academy, and the music academy's growing. I think it's 4 or 5 years old. And this year we had 115 students taking private lessons. And so Brother Plenty oversees that and does an excellent job. We're always looking, though, to do our best. We're always looking to grow. We have meetings, and we're going to talk about some things like that, just really looking to grow beyond what we even think we're capable of. But I remember in the first year, we were handed the program. Brother Plencia was teaching strings class, I was teaching band class, and he was still taking classes in the college, and that's where we became acquainted, was teaching music together. And I remember we received how much we weren't given the budget or anything. We were just told how much we could spend, and we were told we could spend $50 that year on sheet music. And I remember thinking, man, this is going to have to go a long way. How are we going to do this? I can buy a junior high band score for $45. You know, this is with tax and shipping, we're already over. So we're in the red here. And I just remember thinking, man, this is going to be an undertaking. God's really blessed. Fortunately, we have more than that now as far as that we can spend and things like that. We're just going to talk about some practical things as far as trying to grow your program where you're at. And though I'm a Christian school teacher and a college instructor, I don't oversee a church program. I really believe that a lot of these principles can be applied, because I think every single person in here wants to be part of a successful program. And every student that you are able to teach or come into contact with, they want to be part of a successful program. And that's our goal. And really, ultimately, it's not for us, and really it's not for them. I know it says for young people, it's really for the Lord. And, it's the Lord's business. And we want to honor and glorify him in everything. So let's talk about, number one, the purpose. You've got to know your purpose. As I was thinking through our purpose, I could sum it up like this. The purpose of the music program of Lancaster Baptist School is to train youth to effectively glorify God in the local church, especially in the ministry of music. And that entails a lot, but have a purpose statement. If you don't have a purpose statement for your youth program, you should take some time. You know what? It'll take 5 minutes. But just write down, and you probably already know what it is. I remember going to Christian school, and the young men who were singing, Brother Heath and Brother Brent Bartlett, who have sung with the choir the last couple of nights. Their father, Alan Bartlett, was our music director in the church, and he's been there for 35 years ministering in the same church and school. And I remember he would tell us, every single parent-teacher meeting, he would tell us what the purpose of Central Baptist School was. And he said, the purpose of Central Baptist School is to train youth for ministry in the local church. That was the purpose of that school. And as you think of an organization, you think of a church, an institution, a family, they should all have a purpose statement, and have a purpose statement, and then set goals around those purposes. Have an agenda related to that purpose. Know your purpose, and then B, remind yourself, your students, and your staff of the purpose. Anyone that works with you in that area of music, remind them what the purpose is. Okay? And you're probably thinking, well, when would I even have a chance to tell them the purpose? It might be after conference when you have a chance just to sit down with a cup of coffee and you're thinking through things. Maybe just type a quick email and then set up a meeting. And hey, we need to discuss our purpose. Excuse me, number two, the philosophy. Stand on a biblical philosophy. Your pastor's philosophy for developing a youth music program should be your philosophy. His philosophy should be your philosophy. I heard someone say, your vision may go deeper than your pastor's, but it may never be different. There's a lot of truth in that. You know, some of the piano teachers in here, you're thinking, okay, harmonic minor scales. I've got to make sure these kids know harmonic minor scales so they can be more effective in church music. Well, the pastor, he doesn't know what a harmonic minor scale is. Most pastors don't. Your vision is deeper, but it shouldn't be different. Your styles of music shouldn't be those that your pastor doesn't approve of in church. You know, and we're constantly, communicating with Pastor and Brother Guy as far as our school music. Why? Because we want it to represent the Lord well and in the way that Pastor wants it represented. He's the under-shepherd. I'm not the under-shepherd. I don't give an account for this church body, but he does. And I give an account to him. And so, it's been awesome to be able to work for Pastor Paul Chapel. And he's very clear as far as, you know, if he likes something, he'll say he likes it. And if he doesn't, we'll change it. And he's always been very good just to send a memo even after a program. Hey, I like this, and this might be something you can do. And it's nice. I like to be told what to do, and that works out really well as far as him being clear. I don't have to wonder. If your pastor is of some pastors, they're just going to leave it up to you. And their leadership and their leadership style, and some might be a little less obvious in what and how to approach that. But be sensitive to the Holy Spirit with the music, and every church, every school is different. Really reflect your pastor's heart there. B, incorporate an educational philosophy. For anyone in here who is your church music director, your choir director, your pianist, piano teacher, and you don't teach maybe necessarily in a Christian school setting, okay, an educational philosophy goes beyond just teaching the notes on the page. It goes beyond just learning the song. It goes into teaching the children the mechanics of music. You know, for instance, in a children's choir, it may be the next step for your choir is to teach those students how to sing in canon, how to sing in rounds. You know, and that's important for the rhythm and for the harmony and that development. But think educationally. Think as a teacher. Don't just think as a director. Okay. C. Cultivate a ministry supporting philosophy. A ministry supporting philosophy. On the other hand, for those of us who are involved in education, directly in education, I teach at the Christian school most of my time. About this fall, about 50% of my time will be in the Christian school, and about half of that's going to be in the school music, so about 25% of my time during the week will be with organizing and teaching, you know, teaching classes, organizing programs. 40% will be college, but I want the students to see a direct relation between our school and our church in the area of music. I want to be able to invite Brother Guy to come into an ensemble practice at the end of a semester, and for him to be able to talk about the church choir and the importance of those teens getting involved in the church choir. Okay? You're not going to hear me speak negatively of Brother John Guy in front of my students. And I have something we disagree on, we're going to talk about it. But you know what? The students know I 110%, 1,000% support Brother Guy and his efforts in the church and the church music. And the same with the college as well. And we want to just work as a team in that way. We want to show those students, not only by telling them, hey, I'm teaching you because of ministry, we want to get them involved in the practical areas of ministry and music that they can be involved in. It's awesome, and it's a joy. It's kind of a, it's I guess you'd say it's good and it's bad. At the end of the spring in May, Brother Guy will send me an email every year. He has for probably the past 4 years. And he'll ask, who are the students who just graduated who I can use for orchestra? Or who are the students that just graduated who I can use for the college and choir ensemble? Who are some students that are coming into 10th grade that I can ask them to be in the church choir? And they'll have an audition and such, but you know, we're working together. And I look forward to it because there are singers like one of the young men, C.J. Messerschmidt, an excellent bass singer. He sings by ear well. He reads music well. He sings out. He has a really good voice. His heart's to serve. He's serving this week here at the conference, just on the Blue Crew. And it's a joy for me to, you know, recommend a guy like CJ and say, CJ would be a great addition to our choir. I don't know if he sings in choir right now, but you need to get him in choir. You know, get him in the college and career ensemble. But then the downside of it is, man, I've got to build again. I've got to train up another singer. I've got to find students who want to sing that maybe have a talent in music that needs to be developed and encouraged and work with them. And so working with youth, yeah, there's more turnover, but I'm telling you, it's rewarding, isn't it? Isn't it rewarding when you see a student who maybe was in seventh grade in beginner piano, but then by the time that student graduates and is a senior in college, the student is an early advanced cello player and an intermediate to advanced pianist. And I know, I haven't been teaching for that long. I just finished my 11th year of teaching. But it's encouraging to see those students, even from elementary school, after they graduate from college, and they're still using their musical talents and abilities for the Lord, and it's much more effective. Train them. Cultivate a ministry. I said incorporate an educational philosophy. Cultivate a ministry-supporting philosophy. Your youth music program should not conflict with your church music program. For instance, the teen choir with the adult choir, youth orchestra with church orchestra. We're going to encourage our students in orchestra, and we do, even though they have concerts and they have late practices. Brother Palencia conducts our winter orchestra concert for Christmas and our spring orchestra concert. And they play some fun songs, some Broadway even, and some Christmas songs and some Disney. And just really fun concerts that are fundraisers for our school. We're not going to tell those students, hey, you should be in this orchestra, but you don't want to be in the church orchestra. It's going to be exactly the opposite. And they know there's a direct relation there, and we want them to also be in the church orchestra. And so, that's the ministry-supporting philosophy. And then D, develop a team-building philosophy. Develop a team-building philosophy. Engage God's people in His service. Do you realize that people in your church want to serve the Lord? And there are people in your church that want to serve in music? There are people in your church that we're going to talk maybe a little bit about fundraising if we have time. If you had a fundraiser even for your church program, and, you know, in Louisiana we would do jambalaya. So we're having jambalaya for sale after church if you want to support the music program. You know, and Dad, we cook a big old pot of jambalaya that would serve 150 people. And we put together boxes, and he'd sell those. I think he'd sell those for between $5 and $10 back in the day. And, man, you know, we'd make some money. And that was good, and it was one way for him to support. But there are people like my dad wanted to serve in that area, and my dad didn't sing a whole lot, but he wanted to still serve in any way he can. There's a lady that goes to our church, a sweet, godly lady. Her children have been involved in our music program, and she's Filipino, and she can cook some lumpia, I'll tell you what. It's awesome, and pants it, and she organizes our international buffet in the spring for the spring concert. So we have an international buffet, a band and strings recital, and a spring concert. And that helps raise money for the music program. So if we need instruments for kids to play, it's a lot easier to recruit a boy like Matthew Craig, who's going into ninth grade this year, and Day-Day Jackson, who's going into ninth grade. We recruited them when they were in seventh grade to play trombone, but it was a lot easier to recruit them when we had two trombones waiting for them, waiting to be played. You know, those trombones were already there, okay? And so encourage, there might be families in your church who would like to donate an instrument. We had a man from Florida donate a trumpet. He heard that we take donations as far as instruments. He donated a trumpet. Brother Hobbs sent him a letter last week, so it's tax deductible. And you know that was. And we had a young man play that trumpet as well. And so, we want to develop a team building philosophy. There might be those in your church who are qualified, who are able and consistent, that could come and help with some things. We're able to, in the fall, have sectionals with our junior high and high school choirs. We combine both of those choirs for the Christmas program. And so we have sectionals. I'll, for instance, take the tenors. Brother Palencia will take the basses. We'll have two of our other staff. One take the sopranos and one the altos. And many times that might even be getting students involved. The ensemble sang this morning is a blessing to me. And I know those kids, obviously, on a personal level, too, and be able to be their teacher throughout the week. And that just blessed my heart. The young lady who's playing will be a freshman at West Coast this fall studying music. She's one of the most talented young pianists I've heard. She's very diligent and dedicated. And she plays for our ensembles. I don't have college students accompany our groups because we have high schoolers who are more than willing to do it. They want to serve, and they're willing to work. They're going to work hard. It's something they can look forward to. This is a big ministry. Okay? And so sometimes they feel like, oh, somebody else is going to do it, and man, the Lord can never use me here. There are just so many who minister in music. We don't want it to get smaller. We want it to get bigger. We don't want less people to be involved. We want more people to be involved. And Ayanna Reyes has just owned those practices and done really, really well with those. And then Becca Voschel, who will be a junior in high school this year, plays for my high school choir. And she's there. I mean, and that's the thing about students. You don't have to worry about students. They're going to be there. You know, and even for church music, you know, communicate with them when those rehearsals are and be consistent. But develop a team-building philosophy. Okay? Number one was the purpose. Number two, the philosophy. Number three, the program. The program is the structure. It's what we offer educationally and practically. It's how we equip our students to be effective in ministry. It's not about the program, but the program enables us to fulfill our mission. It's how we equip our students to be effective in ministry. It is our operations and our procedure. With the philosophy, the program enables us to reach our purpose. Have meetings with your team at least once every month. When I'm talking about your team, your music staff, you say, well, I don't have a music staff. Start compiling music staff, even if it's one person. If you lead an ensemble, try to find someone who would help you. And it may not even be someone who sings. It may be someone who takes attendance for you and prints those attendance sheets. It may be someone who gets a box for you and files your music for you so that you have it for your rehearsal. Okay? So when I'm saying develop a team, it doesn't have to be musicians, though it's going to be helpful to have musicians for that. But start putting together a team because you're not going to be able to do it all by yourself. Okay? B, your meetings should be clear, concise, and effective. We probably have more meetings than less meetings. I couldn't understand being a part of a team that didn't have meetings. That's tough, you know, but you've got to communicate. And it communicates to those students the importance of what you're doing. C, develop your philosophy, state your purpose, find goals to accomplish your purpose, and write an agenda to reach your goals. And this is just in step, okay, from large to small. Break your agenda down to projects, and projects should be further specified by tasks. Those are actions. Those are to-dos, you know. But be organized and show them that you're organized. Put together and update an annual planner that identifies key tasks to fulfill each project and update every year. My dad tells me all the time when I talk to him, and he manages a few hundred people for ExxonMobil and works on Sakhalin Island north of Japan in Russia. And he tells me all the time, Dan, you need to write your plan and you need to work your plan. And that's what we need to do. Write your plan and then work it. Four ways, Brother Plincy and I laugh about this, but we were sitting in Modular F, which was a classroom, and that was kind of our office. Our office was a classroom. It was one of our music classrooms during the week, and during the weekend, he had a desk over here and I had a desk over here. And I was reading a book called Getting Things Done, and he had three ways to get clear a task list and get things done. So I added one, but you'll probably figure out which one it is. But anyway, four ways to clear a task list. This is the best kept secret. So here it is.
I just dropped my mic.
That's it. Hannah wrote on my suit. Okay. Do. Next, delegate. Three, defer. Not necessarily procrastinate, but that might be time activate. Four, delete. You know, and delete has to do with those things that you thought they were important, but then when you went back and looked at your purpose, you realized, you know what, this is clogging the calendar. And a lot of folks aren't finding purpose. And sometimes we think we should delete things that shouldn't be deleted. I remember asking Pastor about a particular program that we do at the end of the year for the school. And I said, Pastor, would you mind if we change that program into a different style program, a different theme? And our pastor looked at me. It was after staff meeting, and they had a few refreshments for that particular staff meeting. I don't remember why. It might have even been around Christmas time or something. And we're talking about the end of the year. I mean, I just caught him for 20 seconds, was asking about that program. And he said, Brother Hopkins, and then he told me why that program was important to him. Well, all of a sudden, I realized and I drew the connection. Oh, it does line up with our purpose. It does line up with our mission. We need to keep that program. You know, this is a 25-minute program that many people would But now that I know the reason we do it, I can tell the students why we do it. And then it renews vision and purpose with them as well. So do delegate, defer to lead. That works for me. I don't know if it would work for you, but maybe think of things that way. E, utilize a calendar that is effective for your staff team. Time activate your task into your calendar. Some of us are good at using a calendar, but we're not good at taking the tasks and actually putting them in the calendar. We just leave an open space that says like office or something like that. But, you know, if you have that office time, start the best you can putting those tasks into it, or maybe on the side margin, kind of like a Covey planner concept where they've gotten the side margin or a little bookmark. And those tasks can be written in. But use a calendar. Okay. Music, isn't there a lot of planning in music? Okay, with the many programs and different things that are going. You know, Sunday's always coming for those who teach, for those who preach, for those who are involved in church music. Sunday's always coming, and we've got to be ready. So, F, submit your planner to your pastor and to your supervisor. You're probably thinking, my pastor doesn't even care, or I've never done this before. They do care, okay? You just haven't tried it yet. The leadership team, and I'm not on the pastoral team or the leadership team here at the church, but I submit a planner every single year. And it has, you know, anything from, it has calendars on there, it has my personal schedule for the spring, it has my personal schedule for the fall. There are plenty of things. This guy, our Brother Plenty, put in his 2014, 2015 goals in there. Okay? It's got my projects in there, a list of projects, then it has my task list for every single project that's hundreds of items. You know? And I want them to know that I'm serious about the music program and about our students' education. And then I give that to Brother Lee, and Brother Lee takes a portion of it, and he even puts it in his planner to give to pastor. But submit your planner and use your planner, and it's nice to hand to someone who's working with you so that they know what's going on. Write a budget, G, and stick to it. Have a budget. Develop a budget. It might start on a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet, but start. You've got to start somewhere. And you know, money is really time and money. It takes to get things done, you know, and so, you know, stick with that budget, be conservative the best that you can. It's better to spend less at the end of the year, but sometimes we need to invest, and we need to spend. A good investment for us has been for the music program. Brother Plenty has started a rental program for the students who want to play in band and strings, and they can rent an instrument for $10 a month. Any instrument we have, a tuba for $10 a month, okay? I mean, they can rent any instrument they want for $10 a month, and so for the year, I think that's $90. But at the same time, that money goes back in so we can purchase more instruments. And it helps the student to realize they've got to take care of it. They sign a contract that says if there's major damage above wear and tear, that they've got to, you know, take care of that. But it's a way to generate, and H is implement ways to generate income to support your program. We've done a ton of things. We played our band program. Our band played for a grocery store in the area, and we made a few thousand dollars off of that. They wrote us a check for that. They called our school. And I was wondering why they didn't call any of the big public schools in the area to play. Well, they all have testing. They all have state testing that week, and you're a private school, and you don't have testing that week, and you do it. We would really love it, and we'll pay you well. Sure, we'll be there. So we did it. And that was one way that something, and that isn't something that happens every year. That was a one-time thing. But probably every other year for the Harvest Festival, I'll cook hot wings. And we sell hot wings, and we've made $400 or $500 each time we've done that. Brother Plenty has an orchestra concert, you know, and that generates income as well as people want to buy tickets to come to that concert. And we sell tickets for that and have a food buffet or have a dessert bar, something. And that helps as well. But you want to be profitable. And at the end of the year, when I submit my budget, and Brother Plenty oversees the budget, and when he submits that budget, we don't want to look at it and say, man, we were in the red this year. We want to be able to say, hey, we brought in what we said we were going to bring in, and we brought this much more. That, you know, we want to be a blessing. We don't want to be a burden or a pastor. Okay? So, and then number four, the people. Pastor said this morning, he said, it's not the systems we use, but the people we choose. And very true. The ministry's people, right? People with problems. But people, we all have problems, but we're all people. The ministry is people. And how many of you ever heard the statement, many hands make light work? That's a great reason to get help. Okay? Because none of us can do it on our own. All right? Someone should keep the budget, right? Someone should teach every class. Yeah. Someone should help with accompaniment. Someone should organize events. Someone should write agendas. Someone should implement fundraisers and booster clubs. Someone should brainstorm for new ideas. Someone should compile and submit the planner. Someone should oversee communications. Someone should manage the department. Someone should encourage and develop the staff and students. But that someone is not one. And if it is, we need to restructure. Because you can't do it all. Okay? That's going to come out in different ways, and it can manifest itself in stress that leads to maybe you interacting with a student or a parent in a way that you shouldn't, that wouldn't be Christ-honoring. But sometimes we're just planning to fail, right? Because we fail to plan. We've got a plan. Under that, A, find people to work with who complements and supplements your strengths and weaknesses. If you taught geometry, know anything about geometry, you know that this represents 180 degrees. Represents a straight line. Does anyone know the relationship between angle A and angle B? Does anyone know the relationship, what it's called? You're close. Here's another one, but this one. Okay. Someone said complement. A complements B. A completes B. B completes A. This is a supplement. A supplements B. B supplements A. Okay? So if there are areas that you fall short in, find your supplement. Find your complement. Okay? And in your music, none of us have it all. Okay? And the sooner we realize that, but you see, the problem with musicians is, we're like Satan, and that we have pride in our hearts. Okay? We need to lose our pride and ask for help. Okay? So if there's an area that you're weak in, ask for help. Okay? So find people who work to work with you who complement and supplement your strengths and weaknesses. B, recruit staff. Build a team. You know, it might be someone who's paid a few hours a week. It may be volunteers. Every situation is different. But recruit staff. The pastor said today, also, as far as team building, he said the three C's, character, competency, and chemistry. I heard one man say, who's a musician I highly respect, he said loyal incompetency is still incompetency. So, and it's true. So, you know, find people who are competent, and then at the same time, find people who are loyal. Loyal to the cause of Christ, not going to talk bad about the pastor, someone who's going to encourage you and build you as a person. C, for those of you who teach in a school, this may be an idea that you haven't implemented. Brother Lee started implementing this in our Christian school 2 years ago. Obtain student aids. And what that is we have students who may have a study hall who are juniors or seniors that can serve as a student aide. Maybe it's someone, I have a student aide named Sophia Robles. And she isn't a member of the band program, but she's an excellent flautist. But she said, Brother Hopkins, I'll be at band every day, and I'll sign up for that elective so that I can help with anything that you need. If you need me to go run and get something, if you need me to take the flutes into a sectional, whatever it is, that works. And it's really helped. It gives the students more ownership. And by the way, when they're owning something, they're a lot more mature about it. Okay? If we treat them like little children, they're going to act like little children. If we treat them like adults, they're going to act like adults. Right? So, obtain student aids. D, recruit student musicians. This one's big. Please, if you haven't already, underline this one, highlight it and circle it if you don't get anything else from this. Recruit. Okay? If you're excited about something, recruit some students. Well, they don't know any music. Recruit them. They only play the piano and they say they only want to play one instrument. Don't take that for an answer. Okay? We all know that many times the best musicians are the ones. Maybe they started on piano and then they want to learn the trumpet, or maybe they start on piano. Brother Palencia did that with some of the string players in our school who started out taking beginner and intermediate piano, and they still take piano lessons, and now they're involved in the string program. Pianists make excellent other instrumentalists, and singers as well. So recruit student musicians. Be passionate about it. When I look at recruitment, I look at the high school choir. I want more to be in the choir at the end of the year than the beginning. Normally in schools is the opposite, right? You start with a larger class, you lose a few for whatever reason, okay, and especially these extracurriculars. No, my goal is to recruit during the year. Every 9 weeks, if the administrator allows you to add to your class. The fourth quarter of the school, I believe we added 5 singers to the choir on the roster. I was excited about that. We want to recruit. We want to get more involved. And yes, we want it to be quality, but we want to influence as many as we can. Number five, the practices. Practices should be weekly, for sure, and many times throughout the week as you can. Because we offer a lot, sometimes we are compared to public schools as far as the scheduling, and I've had some, you know, in the end, you're going to have to, that goes back to your purpose and your mission. You just need to keep your eye on the goal, okay? You're going to have some that say, hey, you practice too much. You're going to have some that say, hey, you practice too little. You know your program better than anyone. Ask advice. Try to be creative. In the end, you know how busy the church schedule is, okay? There are some churches who your schedule is just too busy to have a Sunday night rehearsal and a Wednesday night rehearsal. And there are some churches in here where Sunday night and Wednesday night works great, you know? And there are some, if you had a 7:45 sound check like we do on Sunday morning, it wouldn't work, okay? But for us, it works because we have a service at 8:30, and they were already going to be here at 8, so now they're here at 7:45, okay? And that's kind of early, but it's worked, and it's been effective for us, for the church music. But have weekly practices. We do, we only do two days of choir. We do 3 days of instrumental. So 3 days of band, 3 days of strings, 2 days of choir. And it's all during one music hour. And then ensembles, actually meet with ensembles during their 40-minute lunchtime. 20 minutes they eat, 20 minutes I rehearse with them. And so really each ensemble is getting 40 minutes of rehearsal a week. I meet with one ensemble Monday, Wednesday, one ensemble Tuesday, Thursday. And then the other ensemble, we actually have a class for on Thursday and on Friday. Thursday, we have a 40-minute rehearsal. Friday, we have a sight singing class for them. So with three ensembles, the one that meets as an elective on Thursday and Friday is obviously the one with the older students who are a little more experienced. They're a little more serious about it. Our goal is to start a fourth ensemble with the high school. You know, so many hands, right? And it might be the way that you build your choir. I don't know, but I'm finding that the more kids that I get to sing in different ensembles, even some sing more and some sing less, the more ensembles I build, the better the choir gets. So the high school, without the junior high, the high school choir, I think we ended the year with 75 or 76. At least 40 of those students were in ensembles. So we've got over half the kids in choir that are also singing in an ensemble during the week. So we don't only rehearse the ensemble music, but we also rehearse some of the choir music. And that helps us prepare for programs. And if we start a fourth ensemble, problem I'm running into is probably the problem you've run into. There are more girls that want to sing than guys. And so we've got three mixed ensembles, and then the fourth one we want to start this year is a ladies ensemble. And we've had a ladies ensemble in the past, but haven't had one for a little while. But we've never had four, so I don't know how it's going to work, so just pray. But and that goes back to purpose as well. We want to, you know, equip these kids, not just in a choir setting, but also in a smaller setting with maybe 12 to 15 singers. Okay, so weekly practices. B, the practices should be planned and structured. One, staff and student aides or someone to help you. Two, agenda. Number three, curriculum. Number next, repertoire. Lesson plans. And then C, design your rehearsals to be educational, relevant, fresh, and engaging. Design your rehearsals to be educational, relevant, fresh, and engaging. And when I say relevant, I'm not saying teach all the new songs to the teens. I'm not saying that at all. The song that they sang this morning, by the way, was one that Pastor recommended. He said, hey, have you heard this song? I've heard it. Would you find an arrangement and teach it to the teens? I'd love to hear them sing it. And it was a blessing. And I think it was really good for the harmony. It was actually structured really well for the group that we had for that particular song. But many times, it's just even taking some of the hymns. There's a really nice arrangement of the song I was talking about before, It Is Well With My Soul, that one of the ensembles sings and sang this year. It's beautiful. And I want to teach them those hymns. We want to teach them those traditional melodies and songs that we grew up singing. So D, constantly parallel practice with performance. I'm talking about the performance while we're practicing. I'm trying to get those students to smile and to sing out. By the way, something on singing out, I'd been teaching it wrong. I might still be teaching it wrong, but I was teaching, hey, sing louder. Well, what's that do? You know, but now we're teaching breathing. We're talking about, hey, breathe, breathe. Okay, now you can sing louder when you breathe. So that was on the side, but sometimes it's just teaching the right concepts and, you know, still learning that for sure. But parallel the practice with the performance. So in practice, we're talking about breathing, and I'll use a hand sign. Oh, yeah, don't forget to breathe. And I'll put my hand here. They know what that means. So in the performance, right before we start on that first phrase of the first song of the program, maybe the ladies come in the first verse. Oh, yeah, smile. I do this. They know what that means. That means, okay, take a deep breath. It's going to be all right, and then sing. So sometimes, those hand signals will work better than even just coaching them verbally. Number six, the performances. A, write down the purpose of each program and share it with your staff and students. And we have, for all of our programs, we have a typed. I have one here. And this one is actually Senior Center Christmas Trip. We go to the Senior Center. In fact, the kids did this on their first day of Christmas vacation. That is a love for music right there. So we let out school, and the next day, all the ensemble members showed up to go to the Senior Center and the Veterans Home. And we did a concert at each one of those. And what we did, I just put together something like this. It's got purpose, plan, and program. And there it is. It tells how long the package is, how long each song was. Well, that's not actually on there, but how long the whole package is, what time we load the buses and everything. And then I just submit it to Brother Lee. Brother Lee, what do you think about this? You know? And then from there, we put together memos, and communicate with the students on that. But we have one of those for every single thing we do. And I'll share it with them. And many times, even with the ensembles, we'll just read it in ensemble practice. We'll read over it so that they know why we're doing it and the purpose and how it goes back to our mission. B, know and follow the allotted time for your performance. Our pastor for our Christmas program, he likes it 25 minutes. For a patriotic program, he likes it 25 minutes. I don't know, 25 is a magic number. For our, how long is Great Americans? It's like 41 minutes or something. I thought it was a weird number. 40 minutes. So for Great Americans program for the elementary that we do the day before Thanksgiving. So know how much it is, time it, go back, be very meticulous on that. Don't take too much time because many times those things can drag. Schedule tech support for your final rehearsals if you're doing a program. That would be sound, that would be lighting, screens. For us, it's difficult. If we have one guy, because he's got to be on two floors at one time. He's got to turn on the sound, and if I need something turned up, and the lights are there, the lights and the sound, but the screens are downstairs. So sometimes, I guess he can do it sometimes wirelessly with us, but it's a lot for one person to do. But make sure that he has adequate help as well, or she, whoever's helping with that. And then D, over-prepare for your performances. You can't prepare too much. It helps the kids to sing confidently, to feel confidently if they're playing. Go over and over that. When I teach lessons, we're preparing the kids for fine arts, for piano competition, preparing them to sing in chapel. We over-prepare. I'm going to tell them, okay, now I want you a month before. Becca, go ahead and stand in front of the piano and announce your song the way that you're going to announce it for fine arts. No, I want you to say this. Oh, you're not smiling. We get picky on it, but we have a good time with it. She'll sit down, she'll play. But we want to... We want to set ourselves up for success, and we don't want it to be an accident. We want to know, And I remind those kids, hey, if you don't do well in the performance, we practice the way we were supposed to. I think God's going to bless it, And remember the bigger picture. If you don't place, the bigger picture is we're preparing for ministry, and this is a great way to do it. So we, talk about that. Communicate with staff, volunteers, students, and parents via email, mailing list. If you are melancholy, sometimes you probably have times where you're not as good of a communicator if you're like me. I have times when I want to be by myself, and then I have times when I'm very happy. But it's very important to communicate with parents. Normally, parents aren't upset with things unless it hasn't been communicated appropriately. Okay? So, many ways you can communicate. We have a school cast system with the school, so Ms. Purcell can put in the information and send it to a whole list just at one time, and it sends everyone a text message. Okay? And that's been helpful. We can also do it with email. We send out a weekly newsletter for the school that will include things in for the program, more generalized information. If we need to, we'll make phone calls, especially for the things if someone's donating food to our buffet, we'll make phone calls for that type of thing, or for the booster club and such. Newsletter memos, we send home a paper memo before programs, the week before programs, to remind parents, and they can just put it on the fridge as well. And then email, and we have a list that Brother Plincy, in fact, emailed for tonight's performance program. And, it's already a list that he has created. He just clicks, there's all the people there. It automatically BCCs everyone and sends it to himself and to all those. And in there, you've got dress code for performance, what you want them to wear. You've got who's performing. Be specific. If you're teaching in a school, be specific on that so that They're not wondering, okay, is this third grade, my third grader or my seventh grader, or both of them, or neither of them. So who's performing? Number next, rehearsal schedule, call time. Call time would be the time that they need to be there before the performance, okay? The date and the time of the performance, and then logistics. And for us, that would be, where are we meeting? Are we meeting in the choir room? Are we meeting in Rebels 102? Are we meeting in the North Auditorium? Or are all the kids going to the classrooms before the service? So, and then also where the students will be picked up after the performance. For us, normally, Brother Guy will make a quick announcement after the program. You know, elementary boys can be picked up at this side section. Elementary girls can be picked up over here. And the secondary students are on their own to find their families. But we also put that in the memo, so that parents know, okay? So over-communicate, and really, when you show the, and I show, we show organization, we show that these things are important, we start building it, we start working at it, and pray, get the Lord in it. And, you know, that's when it's a blessing, isn't it? And all of us, as we said before, all of us want to be a part of a successful team. But it takes a lot of prayer, definitely takes a lot of organization and preparation. But it's all done to the honor and glory of God. So we don't have it all figured out. We're all the time brainstorming, trying to think of new ideas, new ways to be effective. Hey, maybe we should start a new class. And we're starting a new class this fall in high school. And for the music, and I hope it works out, we can continue to offer it. It might crash and burn. I don't know. So, but we're looking forward to it. We're going to plan, prepare, be ready for that. So.